Education, once again, under the spotlight thanks to the recent federal budget. But in the flurry of numbers and this kind of desperate scramble to always analyse the winners and losers when we come through with that, are we losing sight of the very simpler picture, teachers? I mean, nearly everyone has a teacher that helped influence their life at school, and hopefully that was a positive experience for most people. But what makes a great teacher, and more importantly, are we providing them with the resources they need to be great? I'm joined on the line by Professor Andrew Martin from the University of New South Wales School of Education. Andrew, good morning.
Good morning.
Now, look, when we talk about teachers, I mean, are we losing sight of them as individuals making that influence against kids when we keep talking about schools as a whole unit?
Yeah, well, I guess, look, budgets that that fund schools and buildings and resources and so on are terrific. But as you rightly indicate, the main purpose of all of this is to help teachers do their job as best they can, and to help students learn to their potential. So if we don't keep that at the front and centre of the lens as we develop our budgets, then we'll start missing some important points in those budgets.
So what are we looking for with teachers? What can help make a teacher great?
Well, I'm an educational psychologist, and so our job is to look at the factors and processes that that help children and young people learn, and that help the adults in their lives help them learn, if that makes sense. Mm. And so so from our perspective, big factors are things. So a teacher that's really getting the most out of students, whatever that individual student's potential is, those teachers have a very close eye on the student's motivation and engagement, for example. So the student's belief in themselves, their ability to, you know, to manage their academic lives, to persist in the face of difficulty. We also find those teachers are very good at helping students through what we call academic adversity. So when students don't get the mark they might want, when the work's difficult, effective teachers are able to help students navigate that. And I think also, and I think this gets back to your earlier point, effective teachers are very good at differentiating and individualising instruction and expectations and assessments, so that recognising that all children are not the same, the classroom isn't one big homogenous body, it's actually made up of 15 or so individuals, and effective teachers are very good at knowing that and teaching to that.
Interesting. Now, look, it's been 25 years since I left school. Have we changed the teaching, the way we teach in that time period? Is it significantly different?
Yeah, look, we do see over the decades, we do see shifts in the ways we approach instruction. And this largely follows from new findings of research. So probably the most obvious thing that you'd look at walking into a classroom today is the integration of technology in the classroom. But also the integration of what we call high-stakes testing. For example, just last week was NAPLAN, and you wouldn't have sat NAPLAN 25 years ago, nor did I.
No, not
and
at all.
So there are new opportunities, but also new challenges for teachers. I think also what we've, and this will often bring out a little bit of heated debate, but as an educational and cognitive psychologist, we've been spending more time in recent years really emphasising the importance of more explicit approaches to instruction, whilst recognising that once students have having gone through a bit of deliberate practice and worked examples and got the core skills under the belt, that's the time to move into more exploratory and discovery and problem-based approaches. We've found that sometimes the cart has been a little bit in front of the horse with instruction over the last decade and a half, where those exploratory problem-based have been introduced a little too early and students are not sufficiently skilled. So I think we're seeing various changes and ebbs and flows, and in some cases learning lessons that we knew 20 years ago and relearning those, if that makes sense.
It makes a lot of sense. I guess my question is the infrastructure and resources there for teachers to realise their greatness with the current framework of how we teach?
Look, my view is that the likes, the Gonski Review and the things that it was doing was on the right track, and it's good to see that coming into the frame again. And my understanding, for example, is that The next phase of the Gonska review will not only look at how much funding a school should get and how that should be assigned, but how that funding can be used to promote more effective teaching. So we're getting more targeted now. But as an educational psychologist and as a parent, and also with a view to knowing where society goes when education is not optimally funded, the more money into not only educational infrastructure, but also to the core personnel that make that happen, that is teachers and the admin staff in those schools, the better as far as I'm concerned.
Look, just a final question, Andrew. Where do parents come into the equation? How much contact should they be having with teachers?
Yeah, look, it's important to have a good dialogue and respectful interaction with teachers and to stay in touch because, you know, the teachers have a lot on their plate. And so making sure that you do stay in touch with the teacher if there are any issues as they emerge. A stitch in time saves nine, so getting onto things early and a good relationship with the teacher. And we find that in terms of students' social lives and their impact on their academic outcomes, the three big players are teachers, parents, and peers. And when all three are working in the right direction for the student has a good tailwind and they're propelled through their academic life much more effectively. However, if peers are rowing, you know, going against the grain, for example, then that's a little bit of an academic headwind. So parents, when they're on the same page as students and teachers, they have a significant facilitating effect in a child's academic life.
Andrew, thank you so much for your time this morning on Breakfast.
It's a pleasure.